Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. This is the word of the Lord.
First of all, can I say thank you very much to all of you for your thoughts and your prayers over what's been a very difficult month for us as a family, as Christine's mum and dad passed away last month. And thank you for that. It's appreciated. So we're going to have a look, as we come on now, at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. And let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, as we come to look at your word, if we come to look at the beginning of Luke's gospel, just pray, Lord, that you would help us with that and that you would teach us for your name's sake. Amen. So, as Luke takes out his first century biro, or whatever it is, sits down, licks his lips and begins to write, what is it that he's going to say? What's on his mind? What is the aim of this book that he's going to write? I put of five words which, as I read this short passage, jumped out at me. So that you may know. And that is what Luke wants, so that we may know the message about Jesus. He's going to put the account of all the things that have happened in Jesus' life in paper or scroll, and he's going to write to the person, Theophilus, and in a way write to each one of us to say, this is Jesus, this is the Son of God, the Son of Man, come to earth. This is what happened. I've spoken to the eyewitnesses. You can trust this. You can put weight on this. You can put your faith in this so that you may know. So, let's start at the very beginning because I'm assured that that's a very good place to start. And let's have a look at what's going to happen in this book as we open the book of Luke and see where we're going. Firstly, this is the first of two books that Luke is going to write. He's going to write a story, he's going to write the account of Jesus' life, and then he's going to write the account of the disciples as they go out into the world to spread the news of Jesus. That will be in the book of Acts. But this is the first of Luke's books that we're going to look at today. This is also the first of 24 chapters that we're going to have in Luke's book. Not that Luke at the end of each verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, he didn't put those in. They were put in later just to help people to find their way around the Bible so references could come. But this is the first of those chapters, so the very beginning. But not only is it the first of the chapters, this is actually the first 4 of 80 verses in the first chapter. Basically, we're just looking today at Luke's very introduction. So that is what we're going to be looking at. And as we look, we will look at four things. Firstly, who is this Luke? What do we know about him? Secondly, who is it he's writing to? Thirdly, we're going to look at what is it he's writing about. And then we're going to look at why he's writing this. What's the motive for him writing these things? So who is Luke? Well, in the Bible, we have three references to Luke where his name is mentioned. The first one is in Philemon, and here Paul is writing to Philemon, who is a master of a slave called Onesimus, who has run away from him. And at the end, Luke is included in the names of the people sending greetings. And he's there described as a fellow worker. In the next reading, we come now to the end of Colossians. And this time, trade is mentioned. He's a doctor as well. And that would have been very useful for Paul, because Paul was getting himself into quite a lot of scrapes and needed doctor's attention quite often. So there we go, that's the second one. And then, right at the end of Paul's time, probably the last letter he ever wrote was to Timothy. And here, Luke is the only friend that stays with Paul. And that's where we come to it here. So, Paul's writing to Luke. Sorry, let's get this right. Luke is shown as a fellow worker with Paul, who's faithful to Paul and a doctor as well. And also, he's Paul's scribe as well. So, that's who the Bible says Luke is, and that's the message we have there. But when did he meet Paul? And we have a clue to that in Acts chapter 18. And before, at the start of the chapter, Paul is going on his missionary journey, and they are referred to as they. So when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by and went to the town of Troas. So they is writing in the third person. Sounds like Luke was not there with them at that point. But just go down two verses later. They arrived in Troas. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So now it looks like Luke has joined them and he's writing as it's us together. So it looks like, we can't be certain, that Luke joined Paul's missionary trip at the place of Troas. But there are other things about Luke which we don't know, and various guesses have been made, and I'll share some of them with you. We don't know where he came from, but as Paul's journey started in Antioch, there are some saying that he may have come from that area and have known Paul before and joined Troas. So that's one theory. He looks at him being Paul's scribe, certainly for the most of the book of Acts. And he looks to have done his own research as well with other apostles. He may well have even met Jesus. We don't know that, but it's a possibility. He's basically gone round researching to find out about the apostles, about what he's going to write. We know that the gospel was written before Acts, because at the beginning of Acts, he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. So he's written about Jesus by the time he writes Acts. So this is book one, Acts is book two. So that's Luke. We reckon that Acts was written around about 62 AD, Luke's gospel possibly sometime in the late 50s. So that's the man. Next question is, who is he writing to? Who is Luke addressing his writings to? And we find that in verse 3 of the passage. I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. So, you say, well, who's he writing to? Someone called Theophilus. That would be the straight answer. We're not giving further details about who Theophilus is, but his name, Theophilus, means loved by God or friends of God. And some people have wondered if that's a generic term for all the Christians that Luke might be writing to, whether this is actually a collection of Christians rather than just one person. But if you take that view, you then have to wonder, what about the most excellent bit? What's he writing that for? Now that would suggest that that's someone in power, a Roman official perhaps. You remember in Acts, Paul addresses Felix and Festus that way, most excellent Felix or most excellent Festus. It's a term of respect to someone in power. So maybe that's who we're writing to. And so, some have said that he may be writing to a Roman defense lawyer. This might be at the time when Paul's trial is coming up in Rome, and this might be documents which are going to be used to defend Paul, to plead his case. There's a possibility. One other possibility is that in the second century we have writings which tell of a person called Theophilus, who was, in inverted commas, a great lord and leader in the city of Antioch during that time of Luke. Maybe him who helped fund Paul's trip. We don't know this for certain because it's not in the Bible, but it's certainly from documents that come from Christians in the further century. So maybe that's the case. And maybe this Theophilus was a man who had some doubts that he'd shared with Luke. Maybe even that he was someone who could arrange copies to be sent out. Perhaps he had people that could do that. Lots of possibilities, but we don't know. What we do know is that evidence that Luke writes down is just as valuable to us today as it would have been to Theophilus. It's vital, this stuff, what he's writing down, because of the subject matter. Each time we have a reading, we have a picture of the Holy Bible, usually. And we know that as part of the anointed word of God, part of the Bible, Luke's writings are addressed to all of us today. They are writings which are written for us to be helped by. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path, is a verse in Psalms. And that's true of God's word. And it's true of this book that Luke is going to write. So, we've looked at who Luke is. We've looked at who he's writing to. What is he going to be writing about? Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things which have been fulfilled among us. I too decided to write an orderly account for you, is how Luke starts his letter there. Basically, Luke is going to write an account of the life of Jesus. He's going to collect all the accounts that there are, and he's going to check them and going to put them onto, well, it's not paper, a scroll. And we will see, as we keep reading Luke's Gospel, this story about Jesus. It's all about him. The Son of Man, God in human form, why he came when he did, what was the purpose, what was he looking to do? And Jesus, you see, is very important. Jesus is the center point of history. It's not every day God comes in human form. In fact, this is the only time God's come in human form. And it needs to be researched and recorded for generations to come. And that's what Luke is doing. The life of Jesus, when it happened, it created an impact, a great impact, in Jesus' lifetime. Many people were drawn to him. Many people were worried about him. Many people were frightened by him. And this caused great opposition as well. The authorities wanted to silence him. It caused a great impact in Jesus' lifetime. But even more so, after Jesus' lifetime, it created a greater impact after his death and resurrection. not everybody, not anybody comes back from the death the way Jesus did. Luke, when he's writing his book, he'll spend the first two chapters just covering the birth of Jesus and the first 30 years of his life. Two chapters for that. And I wondered as I looked at this, whether he actually met the Apostle John and possibly Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Ephesus, because that's where John was, and having been given the task of looking after Mary by Jesus on the cross, maybe Mary was there too. And you can just sort of picture them sitting round with a cup of first century coffee or whatever it would be, and just discussing, and Mary telling him and sharing with him. Maybe it happened that way, I don't know, but it's possible that as Paul stays in Ephesus with Luke, that they may have met. But that would be the first two chapters covering the birth of Jesus. He'll spend 16 chapters covering the 3 years of public ministry of Jesus. His teaching, his parables, his healings, his miracles, and the confrontations with the Pharisees as well, all will be looked into in these chapters. But he'll then spend six whole chapters just covering 1 week of Jesus' life. The last week, his death, his resurrection. Because these are the central part to the gospel message. He'll focus on that. Because he knows, as he has written with Paul, and Paul told him and dictated to him the letter to Corinthians, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." The vital parts of our faith. Raised, but having died and been killed first, buried first to make sure, yes, he's dead, he certainly died, and raised from the dead. That's the message of Christ. That's what gives us hope, because we know that as he rose from the dead, so as followers of his, we have the promise that we too can. It's a promise that can keep us right to the end. One of the memories that Christine and I had of being with her dad on the last day of his life and reading the Psalms to him. We knew he had that hope, that knowledge that this was not going to be the end, just moving to a different place because of what Jesus did. That's the hope we have. And lastly, why is he writing this? What's the motivation for Luke sitting down with his pen and writing this down, the Gospel of Luke? Well, 25 or 30 years have passed since Jesus' lifetime. And the people who saw it are beginning to reach the end of their lifetimes. And so Luke wants to put down on paper the account of Jesus, what happened there, so it stays for future generations. Luke has already researched the evidence. He's gone round, he's spoken to disciples, and he's made a full research to find out what they have to say. He wants to clarify any misunderstandings that there might be. He wants to find out what's missing and put it all in there. But one thing I think was true, the Holy Spirit was prompting him to do this. This was a mission that the Holy Spirit had sent him on, to actually put this into words, to actually put it onto paper. When Luke was writing this, he wouldn't have known that over the next 2,000 years, millions, no, possibly even billions of people would read his words that God had given him to say. He wouldn't have known that. He was just concerned at the time with writing to this Theophilus, trying to encourage him, trying to give him the false facts. But the Holy Spirit was using Luke to actually put this letter in our Bible, so that he's preaching to us 2,000 years later just as much as he's speaking to Theophilus back then. Notice here, as we just have one last little look through this passage, that as Luke researches this, he's looking for eyewitnesses here, people who have actually seen Jesus, heard Jesus, ear witnesses if you like, people who have actually been there when Jesus was there. And also, notice that term there, servants of the word. That's how Luke describes them, folks that were looking to serve the word of God. Now we know the word as this, the Bible. But the word was also Jesus. Remember John's writing, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. God speaking to us through Jesus. And Luke is passing this message on. And we have the same responsibility as well. We too are servants of the word, servants of Jesus and of the word that God spoke. And he asked us to pass that on too. Notice there here, as we look on that bit there, I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning and have decided to write an orderly account for you. So Luke himself is involved in this. As we said, he's carefully investigated it. He's investigated everything that he could find about Jesus from the very start, from the start of Jesus' life, and he's looked to put it into an orderly account. He's gone through the whole research. He's left no stone unturned. And this, if you're wondering who the little bird is a bird called a turnstone. And he turns over every stone to see what little treats might be underneath. And Luke's done the same thing, just turning over the different stories, the different accounts, and putting them into one word. And here we come to where we're started. So Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. The whole message, not just part of it, that you might know it. That this is not just a rumour. This is not just a fancy tale that may or may not be true. This is definitely true, and I've checked it out. I'm certain myself that these things are true, he's saying. And Luke's message and assurance is still valid for us today. We can know all about Jesus as we read his word. So things that Luke told us about Jesus. You can know that he is great, the Son of the Most High, born of a virgin, as was prophesied in the Bible. He'll cover that. He'll cover the fact that he had power to heal and to raise the dead. He'll give eyewitness accounts in his word. He has come to rescue the lost and bring forgiveness to sinners. He's not just come for the good people. He's come to save and to rescue the lost. Luke will write down that Jesus' words as he tells about the lost sheep and the wonderful story of the prodigal son. They will be in Luke's gospel. And he'll also tell about the confrontations that there were with the self-righteous and the proud Pharisees. And he'll also tell that Jesus was crucified, though innocent, but he'll add on the third day he will rise again, and he'll go through that in his gospel. So I encourage you to take the Gospel of Luke, to read it, and to address it, and to look through all the details in it. Just imagine that you are Theophilus, reading this for the first time, with good news about Jesus, about what he did, his life, and his death, and his resurrection. At the start of the service, we sang a song, the very first song we sang, Jesus, love of my soul, all-consuming fire is in your gaze. Jesus, I want you to know that I will follow you all my days. And these are the two lines that grabbed me. For no one else in history is like you, and history itself belongs to you. Alpha and Omega, you have loved me, and I will spend eternity with you. No one else's history is like Jesus. History itself belongs to him because he is God in human form. This is Luke's account of it. This is what Luke is writing down. It's worth studying, and it's worth our time as a church looking at it. Do read it. Amen.